Welcome to this deep dive where we tackle complex topics and try to make them clearer. Today, we're jumping into electronic discovery, looking closely at In Re Weekly Homes LP. It's a 2009 Texas Supreme Court case. And honestly, if you're navigating the legal scene, especially law students understanding this, it's kind of like getting a cheat code for the digital courtroom.
Absolutely. And it's not just about, you know, some dusty old ruling. It's really about how courts handle the sheer volume of electronic data in lawsuits today. We've gathered quite a bit for this, some podcast guidance focused right on weekly, a really detailed case brief, even a standard legal brief. Our mission, to pull out the key stuff, the practical things you need to know.
Exactly. And Weekly Homes, at its core, it really highlights this ongoing tug of war, doesn't it? Balancing that crucial need for evidence in a case against, well, privacy rights and just the practical headache of digging through mountains of electronic files. Okay, so let's dig in. Where did this whole fight actually start? What were the initial contracts?
Okay, so it kicks off with a few linked agreements. First, you have Weekly Homes, they build houses, and they had a builder contract with a company called Enclave. Basically, Weekly agreed to buy lots in a subdivision from Enclave.
Got it. Weekly buying lots from Enclave.
Right. Then Enclave turns around and makes a warehouse contract with HFG Enclave Land Interests. They sell some of those same lots to HFG, and importantly, they pass along some of Weekly's duties from that first builder contract over to HFG. So it's like a chain of responsibilities.
Ah, okay, like a contractual relay race. And this estoppel certificate, where does that fit?
Good question. So before HFG actually bought the lots from Enclave, Weekly gave HFG this estoppel certificate. You can think of it as Weekly officially telling HFG, yeah, as far as we know, Enclave is doing everything they're supposed to under our original deal. It was meant to give HFG some peace of mind before they committed.
Okay, so Weekly is essentially vouching for Enclave to HFG. But clearly things didn't stay peaceful. What was HFG's problem with that certificate later on?
Exactly. HFG eventually sued Weekly for fraud. They basically said, hey, what you told us in that estoppel certificate wasn't true. You misrepresented things. Specifically, HFG claimed Weekly lied about how stable the subdivision lots were.
Lot stability. Okay.
And the potential smoking gun HFG was after. A slope stability analysis, basically a report on how sound the ground was that HFG thought Weekly knew about but didn't mention properly in the certificate. And that's where the e-discovery battle really heats up. HFG wanted access to deleted emails from Weekly employees. They hoped those emails would prove Weekly knew about the stability problems when they gave HFG that certificate.
Deleted emails. The usual suspect in these digital disputes. Why were they deleted in the first place? Was it suspicious?
Well, according to the info we have, Weekly said the emails were deleted just as part of their normal everyday data management. You know, they likely had standard email retention policies, probably limits on inbox size, and maybe like a 30-day backup retention. So older emails just got purged automatically based on those rules.
So HFG saying, the proof is in those deleted emails. And Weekly's responding, they're gone because of our normal policies. That definitely sets up a legal clash. How did it play out in court initially?
Right. So the case starts making its way through the courts. At first, the trial court actually sided with Weekly. It denied HFG's first attempt to get those emails.
Okay, round one to Weekly.
But HFG didn't give up. They filed another motion. This time, though, they asked for something way more invasive. Forensic access to the actual hard drives of four specific Weekly employees. And surprisingly, perhaps, the trial court said yes. They granted that motion.
Whoa. Forensic access to employee hard drives. That sounds intense. Huge privacy implications there. How did Weekly react?
You bet. It's like letting someone rummage through your entire digital life. Weekly immediately sought what's called mandamus relief from a higher court.
Mandamus relief. Okay, let's break that down for anyone not steeped in legal procedure. What does that mean in plain English?
Sure. Think of mandamus relief here as like pulling the emergency brake on the legal process. It's a pretty extraordinary thing where a higher court orders a lower court to do something specific in this situation to basically undo its decision allowing that forensic search. You usually only get it if the lower court has clearly gone way off track, like a serious abuse of its power. Weekly was arguing exactly that letting HFG dig through employee hard drives was just way beyond reasonable.
Okay, an emergency appeal, essentially. Yeah. Did the Court of Appeals agree with Weekly? Did they pull the brake?
No, actually. The Court of Appeals denied Weekly's request for mandamus. They basically let the trial court's decision stand, at least for the time being. And that's why Weekly took it all the way up to the Texas Supreme Court.
So the highest court in Texas gets involved. What was their final call on this?
The Texas Supreme Court came down firmly on Weakley's side. They reversed the trial court's order. They found that granting that forensic access was, in fact, an abuse of discretion by the trial judge.
Okay, so a clear win for Weakley there. What was the legal reasoning? What rules or principles did the Supreme Court focus on?
The big one was Texas Rule of Civil Procedure 196.4. Now, these rules are basically the playbook for how lawsuits work in Texas. Rule 196.4 deals specifically with discovering electronic stuff, and it really hammers home two key ideas, specificity and proportionality.
Specificity and proportionality, meaning?
Meaning your requests for electronic data have to be super specific, clearly defined, and the burden it puts on the person providing the info has to be balanced against how important that info actually is to the case. You can't just ask for everything, it has to be targeted, and the effort has to be reasonable given the potential payoff. No broad fishing expeditions.
Right. And didn't the court use a pretty striking analogy to explain how intrusive this kind of access is?
Yes, they did. It was quite vivid. They said, ordering examination of electronic storage devices is as intrusive as permitting open access to file cabinets. Just picture that, letting someone just walk in and rifle through all your physical files. It really drives home that digging into hard drives isn't something to be taken lightly.
Yeah, that paints a clear picture. So why exactly did HFG's request fail in the Supreme Court's eyes? What didn't they manage to show?
That's really key. The Supreme Court basically said HFG didn't bring enough proof to justify such a drastic measure. They dropped the ball in a few ways. First, they didn't really explain Weakley's email systems from back then very well, like how was the data stored? Were there other backups besides that 30-day one? It was all a bit vague.
Okay, lack of system details. What else?
Second, they didn't convincingly show it was even possible to get back deleted data from 2004. Tech changes fast, right? Just because it was deleted doesn't mean it's recoverable years later. Maybe if HFG had an expert explain, you know, common archiving back then, or Signs Weekly might have kept stuff longer, but they didn't really offer that.
Right. Feasibility wasn't proven.
And maybe most importantly, HFG didn't show there was a reasonable chance this whole search would actually turn up relevant evidence. It seemed mostly like guesswork, like a hope rather than a solid lead.
Yeah, I think the court had a line about that, about just hoping to find something.
They did. They said pretty bluntly, mere skepticism is insufficient to compel production. Just suspecting something might be in those deleted emails wasn't good enough grounds for such an invasive search. It looked too much like a fishing trip.
And it wasn't just about whether the data could be found, right? The court also weighed the impact on Weakley. That proportionality thing again.
Exactly. Proportionality was huge. The court looked hard at the burden this would place on Weakley. Think about it. Disrupting their business, the risk of accidentally exposing private HR files, maybe confidential business strategies, even lawyer-client privilege stuff that could be on those drives.
Yeah, a lot of potential collateral damage.
For sure. The court decided that this massive burden on Weakley just wasn't justified by HFG's fairly weak hope of finding relevant emails. And significantly, HFG hadn't really tried less intrusive options first, like really grilling the employees in depositions to get the information that way.
Okay, this makes sense. So Weakley Holmes definitely set some important ground rules for e-discovery in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
What are the big takeaways, especially for law students listening? What should they really remember from this?
Okay, several key things. Number one, absolutely critical. Be specific and narrow in your e-discovery requests. You can't just ask for the digital equivalent of everything. Target your request based on a real reason to believe the data exists and matters. No vague treasure hunts.
No, rule one, right. Precision matters. Got it.
Rule two, you need to show it's actually feasible to retrieve what you're asking for, especially with older or deleted data. You can't just assume it's recoverable. You might need to provide some basis, maybe even expert input, to show it's technically possible. It really highlights why you need to understand, or try to understand, the other side's IT setup, you know?
Right. Understand their systems. What's takeaway number three?
Three. Courts will perform a balancing act. They have to weigh your need for the evidence against the other side's privacy rights and the burden, the cost, the disruption of producing it. It's always context specific. There's no automatic yes.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Did the case say anything about the lawyers working together on this stuff? Cooperation?
It didn't explicitly order it, but the court's reasoning definitely points towards the value of cooperation. Agreeing on e-discovery protocols early on, how things will be searched, preserved, produced, can save everyone a massive amount of time and conflict later. It's sort of implied common sense.
A stitch in time saves nine, even in e-discovery. Okay, and one last point. that forensic access. The court disliked it here, but did they ban it completely?
No, and that's crucial. They didn't say never, but they set the bar incredibly high. Forensic access should be a last resort. You need a really strong reason, proof that less intrusive methods like depositions or more targeted requests won't work or haven't worked. You have to show the potential reward heavily outweighs the risks and burdens. It's a tough sell.
Okay, that's super clear. This has been a really valuable breakdown of INRI Weekly Homes. It's obvious this case left a big mark on how Texas courts handle e-discovery. So, wrapping up, what's the single biggest principle this case solidified?
I'd say the core principle is that courts are going to look very closely at intrusive e-discovery requests, especially for direct access to devices. The party asking for it has a heavy lift. Show a concrete likelihood of finding relevant stuff and prove the benefit is proportional to the burden. Guesswork and fishing expeditions just won't cut it.
A very clear takeaway. And, you know, thinking about this 2009 case, wow, technology has changed so much since then. So maybe a final thought for our listeners. How might today's tech cloud storage, sophisticated deletion, new forensic tools change how these weekly principles apply now? What new balancing acts between discovery needs and privacy are courts facing in our super digital age? Something definitely worth thinking about. Keep exploring e-discovery rules and case law, folks. Thanks for tuning into this deep dive.